From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The CDC recently reported that fertility rates in the U.S. have been falling for several years. And it turns out there's a connection with the economy. When we run into economic trouble, like during the Great Recession, fertility declines. But demographers have been scratching their heads on this one. We've more or less recovered from the Great Recession, but fertility is still falling. We've been speaking with experts about what this trend means for the U.S., and today we're talking to Hans-Peter Koehler, demographer and professor of sociology at UPenn. Good morning, Professor Koehler.
Good morning.
So fertility rates in the U.S. have been going down for the past 3 years. People expected fertility to increase as we recovered from the Great Recession. How does the U.S. compare in this way with other developed countries?
So fertility rates actually in the U.S. some time ago were exceptionally high. And then surrounding the kind of Great Recession, that changed dramatically. And the U.S. had this kind of streak of declining fertility rates, and in recent reports getting to these historic low fertility rates. Now that, on the other hand, is broadly shared with many other countries, including some countries that invest heavily into families and family-friendly policies, such as Denmark and Norway, surprisingly also had declining fertility rates in the last few years. And the kind of end of the recession hasn't gone necessarily along with a recovery of fertility rates, despite the fact that declining fertility rates were often attributed to the consequences of the recession, including increased jobs, uncertainty, and higher unemployment.
So in a sense, the U.S. has finally caught up with many other high-income countries in having this issue with fertility, with birth rates.
On one hand, what we care in fertility is kind of reproducing the next generation and have a demographic trajectory that allows us to sustain high living standards, high quality of life, and so forth. And if this is our societal goal, it's not clear that this demographic replacement rate is the necessary benchmark by which we should measure fertility and say that this ought to be the societal desirable outcome. So it might well be that kind of these lower rates of fertility are driven in part by declining fertility at very young ages, teenage pregnancies and so forth are declining. And arguably, this is a societal very good development because these early pregnancies may have been associated with negative life cycle outcomes. One extent is that individuals have learned that there are multiple things one can do in early life. Having children is one of them. So young individuals, couples start delaying fertility in order to attain more education, get more labor market experience, and so forth, and may have some or all of these children at a later point in life. And arguably, this is a positive trend as well. And finally, you know, individuals might be shifting from number of children to having fewer children, but investing more in them, so having higher levels of human capital and maintaining our quality of life. That ultimately might be the most important aspect.
Why is it that the highest income countries have the lowest birth rates?
What parents would like to achieve is not necessarily a certain number of children, right? They want to achieve parental happiness, so you want to do a bunch of things in life that make you happy and satisfied, and having children might be an important component thereof, but not necessarily having many children. There's a range of pressures that have parents shift away from number of children to investing more in their children, higher levels of early childhood investment, higher levels of education, tertiary education. And these investments require parental resources, time and money that now go into investing into a smaller number of children as compared to having relatively many children.
So let me ask a very simple question. Is the decline in fertility in the U.S., the decline in fertility in some high-income countries, is that even a problem?
I would say at the level we're observing it in the U.S., it is not a problem. If the U.S. had South Korean, Japanese, or Italian fertility rates, arguably the pressure to do something about this might be higher.
When we look at other countries that maybe do have a problem with their birth rates, first, why is it a problem for them, and how have they gone about dealing with that problem?
So there is an important difference in the fertility levels we observe in, say, the United States or Denmark or Norway or some other countries that are for sure below replacement. They're well below replacement, but they're not what we have referred to lowest low fertility rates below 1.3 children per woman, where the long-term consequences would be a lot higher. Many of the countries that have very low fertility also have much lower levels of immigration, and immigration is obviously one of the adjustment mechanisms by which countries respond to low fertility. So there are lots of policies that on a superficial level may sound like appealing, like providing financial incentives for having children, so forth, but our media campaigns that one should have children, and mostly they don't work. So the set of policies for which there's some evidence that they work are pertain to increasing compatibility of parenting and labor force participation policies, increasing early childhood investment through daycare provision that allows mothers also to return to the labor market relatively quickly. For these type of policies, there is some evidence that they might actually work and help kind of revert this trend or sustain at least a moderately below replacement fertility.
Hans-Peter Koehler is a demographer and professor of sociology at the University of Pennsylvania. It was good to talk to you.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.